All right, we're going to move on to our second speaker in this panel. That's Carlton Fowler. Carlton is the managing partner at Goat Rodeo Capital Management, and he is also the former spirits innovation and brand developer at Gallo Winery. Go ahead, Carlton.
Thanks, Larry. Good afternoon, everyone. Very briefly, for the benefit of the listeners, Larry has granted me a little extra time to describe to everyone what the three-tiered system that governs regulation on beverage alcohol is. Essentially, think of it as a vestigial tale of the end of Prohibition. You know, the 21st Amendment ascribed to the states the power and responsibility to separate and regulate the tiers of beverage alcohol, namely suppliers, and those can be as large as the $100 billion market cap Diageo or as small as a micro distillery. They sell to distributors. Distributors warehouse the product. They comply with the various state laws. Very importantly, they collect federal excise tax. And they also get the product to the retailers. And then the retailers, again, they can be on premise. That is places where the alcohol is actually consumed on the premise, like a bar. Or they could be off premise, meaning liquor stores, grocery stores, et cetera, depending on individual state laws. So it's, I think it's going to be useful for a lot of these talks to have that basic understanding. And then as far as mine, I find these quick talks are actually always best if I try and convey a simple pattern of facts. One set that is pretty obvious, one set that's a little bit more interesting, and hopefully one that is a little bit more heretical, but all of which are hopefully actionable. So for the obvious set, it is impossible to ignore, and Carol highlighted this a little bit, just how much the consumer is continuing to adopt digital or e-commerce. And beverage alcohol is no exception there. What is a little less obvious is how much that is changing our industry. Before the pandemic, beverage alcohol actually had an e-com penetration rate of less than 2%. And while that penetration rate quickly doubled during the pandemic, if you contrast that with the average rates in other fast-moving consumer goods, those are about 20%. So we have a long way to go, and we will catch up very quickly. I would argue that the low e-com penetration rates in our industry are a result of some of this archaic regulatory structure, but again, they're moving to catch up quite quickly. Additionally, when you factor in the additional costs of delivery and last mile and e-com, basket size or dollars per cart is really everything in a world where Amazon has trained consumers to expect that delivery should be free. Delivering a head of lettuce through an entire supply chain fresh to someone's door is very hard, and it's very low margin. Delivering a $50 bottle of wine or whiskey is comparatively much easier. Said pretty bluntly, this is a $250 billion category in the U.S. alone that has a very high incentive structure to reorient $50 billion or more of its total value to a digital supply chain and go to market in the next 12 to 24 months. And that's really just to catch up. To paraphrase the late Senator Dirksen, a couple billion here and a couple billion there, and pretty soon you're talking about real money. For the interesting fact set, in keeping with my theme around digitization of beverage alcohol and how that affects consumer behavior, I'd like to explore what is happening around the last mile providers. What I mean by last mile is that the well-capitalized logistics and delivery companies. You all may have heard of one. It's called Amazon. The others are less known, but growing just as fast. GoPuff, DoorDash, and Uber. All of these companies have their sights set on beverage alcohol. It's a massive market, yet a product that isn't particularly complex to deliver. You don't really need to take my word for it. Uber paid over $1 billion for Drizzly, and GoPuff just paid over $350 million for the entire liquor chain BevMo rather than build their network from the ground up. As to why this is interesting, the U.S. market has been historically fractured in its third or retail tier. There are well over 100,000 outlets in the U.S. selling beverage alcohol, a retail penetration rate second really only to water. What this has been historically is that because of this highly fragmented retail base, just about any idea under the sun can get to be tried by an entrepreneur in this space. Because most buyers represent only one or two locations, every product has a chance to get on the shelf somewhere. But it also necessitates a robust distribution tier to serve all these locations. And that distribution tier has a lot of fixed costs locked in. While a giant distributor like Southern Wine and Spirits might be great at logistics benchmarked in their industry, does anyone on this call really think that they will beat Amazon at logistics 10 years from now? We as consumers are increasingly viewing our consumption experience through the screen on the phone in our pockets, and these last mile providers are making that screen the new retail tier, and it will have huge echo effects throughout the industry. Brands and suppliers that understand that and prepare for that world will thrive when the supply chain and the go-to-market is increasingly digitized, and brands that don't will be left behind. So finally, something heretical. If what I say above is true, number one, that e-com is coming quickly, and number two, that the last mile providers will be investing very heavily in facilitating that world, then how fast might these changes come to pass? Surely, these large distributors will push back. After all, Southern Wine and Spirits had 2019 sales of $20 billion, and who wouldn't want to protect that? As much as the large distributors would resist any legislative change through lobbying, that is not the only way. There is also a judicial path. Without turning this into a law seminar, there was a landmark Supreme Court case in 2005 called Granholm versus Heald that essentially allowed wine commerce in some circumstances to transact without the distribution and retail tiers to over 95% of the population. I'd be happy to explain those circumstances in the Q&A more, but what is important is those exact same circumstances are starting to build in the spirits category. My heretical statement is, I think we are actually 3 years or less away from a similar judicial decision in spirits and even and or beer, which could revolutionize those industries from a business model standpoint. And that amount of margin could drop to the bottom line, similar to the way it's happened in wine. Thanks, Larry.
Thank you.